We're in a series of the book of Daniel, this great book of the Old Testament. It's got some amazing stories in it, including an incredible man named Daniel. I know as a child, I love to hear the stories about Daniel. I love to hear the stories about Daniel in the lion's den and the fiery furnace, which we plan to look at next Sunday morning, and a number of other stories. We have been looking over the last four Sundays at the book of Daniel and about this man, this incredible man who had incredible integrity and influence. We think of the courage of Daniel in the lion's den, and as you look at where it is in the book of Daniel, you do realize that Daniel was probably a fairly old man at that time. It was in the days of King Darius. And that had to be at least 55 years after Daniel came to serve in the palace. And so Daniel was probably 70 years old or somewhere around there when he went into the lion's den. And just imagine what kind of courage it would take in order to stand up for what's right, knowing that you're going to face hungry lions. But we also have seen, and we've looked at, and we've talked about how we know that Daniel's deep courage did not just happen when he went in the lion's den. Daniel was a man who formed his faith and formed his character long, long before he went into the lion's den. In fact, Daniel began forming his faith when he was a child in Jerusalem, and sometime when he was a child or a preteen or maybe a very young teenager, the Babylonian army came into Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem and took captive many of the people and marched them back to Babylon. And so as a boy, Daniel found himself as a captive, as a slave in a country far, far from home. And yet Daniel, being marched and taken from his home and taken to a new land, held on to what he had known and heard and believed about God. And those beliefs grew deeper and stronger, even living in a culture that was very much not like he was used to and that honored God. And so on one hand, in the book of Daniel, we have the man named Daniel, and we look at his character. And on the other hand, over the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the character of another man, King Nebuchadnezzar, that long name, Nebuchadnezzar. He was a powerful king. He was arguably the king of the greatest empire that existed in his day. He was powerful, he was mighty, he was wealthy, he was a warrior, he was a man that had powerful influence over the world. But he's also a man who had had a very troubling dream. And apparently the dream had come to him many times, and it had troubled him. And he had reached out desperately to the people around him for somebody to make meaning of this dream that was so influential in his heart and his mind and troubling. He would lay awake at night and try to understand the dream. He knew it had to be about his life and about his power, and he wanted to hold on to his power. And so he put out the call to all the wise men of the kingdom. Who can interpret the dream? And for a long time, he reached out to find someone that could interpret his dream, and no one could do it. And he got more and more frustrated and angry and hostile. And finally, he got so fed up with all the wise men around him who could not interpret the dream that he said, "I'll put them to death. They will be put to death." And then Daniel hears about the dream. He hears about the king and the edict, and he calls together Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pray. They urgently pray that God would give Daniel the dream. And somewhere in the night, God gives Daniel a miraculous picture of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. He prays that God would show him. And so in the middle of the night, chapter 2, verse 45 tells us that the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. God has given the dream to Daniel. And then Daniel, last week, as we looked at the dream itself, how God had given to the king a dream of a statue with a golden head and a silver chest and bronze. And then iron and clay, and how Daniel interpreted that for Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdoms that would come between the time of Nebuchadnezzar and the coming of Christ. And then Daniel tells them that the great God of heaven is going to send a mighty kingdom that will come and will be greater and will last forever. And we know it's the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of Christ. And so this great dream is interpreted. And imagine the relief to all those the king had threatened to kill when finally Daniel was able to tell him the dream. Well, this morning I want to look at just a few verses of the end of chapter 2 and what happened after Daniel interpreted the dream. So if you want to read along, turn in chapter 2, the book of Daniel, beginning at reading at verse 46. And let's read what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to Daniel? Again, this is a contrast of two characters. This is the contrast of the character and integrity of two men, both of whom God has given now the answer to the dream. Chapter 2 says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the provinces of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court." Chapter 3, verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps and prefects and governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. It had to be quite a sight to see King Nebuchadnezzar and all his power and glory and ability to have people put to death, to come up off his royal throne and fall prostrate before Daniel. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar was so impacted and affected by hearing the dream interpreted that he did something that he had probably never, ever done before. He gets up out of his throne chair. He gets up and he falls down on the ground before Daniel. That just tells us how important this dream was to Nebuchadnezzar. After all the tension and all the threats, and knowing how powerful he was, King Nebuchadnezzar falls down prostrate before Daniel, who is a Hebrew slave. We think of how powerful Nebuchadnezzar was, and we think of this picture in this story, and we think, well, surely this man must have been changed in his heart by the interpretation of the dream. This powerful man, he was called the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar was called in the dream, "You are that head of gold." Think about how Nebuchadnezzar heard those words, how great and mighty and powerful he was. That's how the dream starts off. You are that head of gold. And yet when he hears the dream interpreted, that head of gold falls down and bows before this man, Daniel. The problem with Nebuchadnezzar is not only was he that head of gold, but he also had an ego, and he had a pride to match it. He had something on the inside of him that refused to bow to the authority of God. He fell down before Daniel. He honored him. He appreciated Daniel. He was grateful for Daniel. He was desperate for what Daniel had to say to him, and so he falls down. The king fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor. I just wonder how all the court officials, what they thought when they saw that. All those that had been threatened by death by the king. And now they see this king fall down before Daniel. The problem with Nebuchadnezzar is not only was this dream so important to him, but Nebuchadnezzar also had a pride inside of him. He was falling down, prostrate before Daniel, and he begins to say things, and he kind of starts down that road in that process of acknowledging what he needed to, and he went partially there. Daniel's life had an incredible influence on the king. Can't overstate how important Daniel was to Nebuchadnezzar and would be to Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel was the real thing. He knew that Daniel had something that he did not have. He knew that Daniel had something inside his mind, inside his heart, inside his character that Nebuchadnezzar knew he did not have. He has all this power. He has all this wealth. He is the head of gold, but Nebuchadnezzar does not have something that Daniel has. Nebuchadnezzar does not have that faith. He doesn't have that connection. He doesn't understand, but he saw the genuineness within Daniel. And that just reminds me that when you have faith that's real, people will notice it. People will see it. You don't have to be the head of gold. You don't have to be the king. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be fancy. But when you have faith that's real, people will notice it. When you have faith that is genuine and you have character, people will notice it. Whether you're Daniel or whatever your name is, whether you're young or you're old, character and integrity and faithfulness to God will be noticed by the people around you. Daniel was just doing what God told him to do. He was living out how God led him and guided him. He wasn't trying to be a star. He wasn't trying to bring attention to himself. He was simply doing what God gave him to do. And when he did that, he had incredible influence on King Nebuchadnezzar. He had an amazing impact on this man. He is doing something probably Nebuchadnezzar is that no one has ever seen him do before. Here's the king falling down before a man, the mighty king. That just shows you how much the dream meant to him, and it shows you how much Daniel was important to Nebuchadnezzar. We also read that the king highly rewarded Daniel. I mean, and not just a little bit. He just didn't say, oh, you did a great job. You're going to be in charge of the wise men. He falls down before him and he gives him this respect that's absolutely amazing. That the king would put so much respect into the man named Daniel. His character and being able to tell him the dream had such an impact on him that he gives him this amazing respect. He also gives him amazing material things, and we have a list of them. We'll look at them in a minute. But he also gives to Daniel amazing trust. He trusts Daniel. We see the tremendous high respect that the king shows in him. And it reminds us a lot of another story in the Old Testament earlier in the book of Genesis, the story of Pharaoh. You remember in the book of Genesis, there was a man named Joseph. Joseph was a 17-year-old teenager when he was taken and sold into a slavery by his angry brothers who were hostile toward him. He was taken to another country. He was taken to Egypt. He was sold as a slave. He wasn't treated fairly. And Joseph held on to his faith. He held on to what he believed about God. He didn't throw it away. He didn't make God responsible for the evil that happened to him. Instead, he put trust in God, that God knew where he was at and God saw him. And in that story, you see a tremendous parallel to this story. Joseph was this slave, this foreigner, but God had given him the ability to interpret dreams. And eventually, he was brought before Pharaoh. Pharaoh also had a dream that no one could interpret, but Joseph was able to do that. And when he did that, Pharaoh rewarded Joseph in an incredible way, but not just rewarded. Rewarded is one word, but trust is another one. Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of the grain. He put him in charge of Egypt. He had tremendous trust in him. I want us to realize how important integrity and character leads to trust. Pharaoh trusted Joseph. Nebuchadnezzar trusted Daniel because of integrity and character. The ability to interpret dreams was a great gift. And it was a gift because Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar knew that those dreams came from heaven. They somehow came from a God that they didn't understand and they didn't know. They probably both worshiped many gods, but they knew that these dreams were different. Nebuchadnezzar went from this very angry, hostile, troubled king. I mean, he is yelling out threats. He is threatening to put all... Go on to that next slide, would you please? He's threatening the wise men. Put them to death. He is angry. He is troubled and hostile. And then he's falling down, bowing down before a Hebrew slave. just think of the change in Nebuchadnezzar because this dream was interpreted. The change in this man because of the character and the faithfulness and the prayers and a man who did what was right, Daniel. The king went from very angry to very grateful. He also, I notice when I look at Nebuchadnezzar's reaction, is he also starts to look at who Daniel's God is. He takes a look at who Daniel's God is. Verse 47 says, "The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery.'" It's like the king begins to think, is there a God in heaven? Did God really give this to Daniel? "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings." I think when I read this verse, I think Nebuchadnezzar, well, he's moving toward God. He's moving toward recognizing his authority. He's moving toward him. And I realize that sometimes there's events in life that call us and get our attention, and we take a step toward God. Or we think, well, maybe God is real. Maybe God is speaking to me. Maybe I can trust God. And it's like a first step, a baby step. And the tragedy about Nebuchadnezzar is God gave him an opportunity. God gave him this king, this dream, and the future, and all these things. And the king seems to be taking a step toward God. But we'll see, what does he do next? He takes a step to the authority of God, but he pulls away. "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings." But even at that, Nebuchadnezzar does not move on toward recognizing and worshiping and putting God in that place where he deserves. How important it is that God is in the right place in your heart and your life, and you have him in that place of respect and authority. I mean, everybody can believe in God. Jesus said the demons believe in God. It's not believing in God that makes your heart right with God. It's not believing in God that gives you character and integrity. You've got to take another step, and that is to give God the authority in your life and put him in that place of respect and live according to that place of respect that God wants you to in your life. He got his dream answered, and he took a step toward God, but then he doesn't go on. I think of Nebuchadnezzar. I think he wanted God on his own terms. He wanted God to be created and fashioned according to what he wanted instead of who Almighty God is. He wanted a God who could give him a dream. He wanted God who would do certain things for him. And how sometimes we can treat God that way. "Well, I will believe you. I will worship you if you do this. If you help me to get the right job, if you heal my brother, if you help me to get good grades, I'll believe in you, God. Or if I hear some voice somewhere sometime, I'll believe in you, God," instead of by faith recognizing the authority of God and responding to him. Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity here. He had an opportunity to recognize the authority of God. When I look at how he treated Daniel, He treated Daniel so well. Look at the rewards that Daniel receives. Number one, the rewards of Daniel. Among Daniel's rewards was Nebuchadnezzar did recognize God's greatness. I mean, Daniel pointed Nebuchadnezzar to God. He does that all throughout his life. He's always pointing people to God. It's not about me. It's not that I'm great. It's not that God, I have this great gift of dreams. No, he says, it's the God of heaven. The God of heaven. I said a couple of weeks ago, you have this term throughout the book of Daniel. The God of heaven. The God of heaven. Daniel's always pointing people to God. Well, the king responds with these gifts. It says that he gave him an offering and many gifts. He gave him these gifts that were lavished. In fact, the word in the translation is, he lavished many gifts on Daniel. Lavished. It says also that the king put Daniel in a high position. He put him in a position of responsibility. He pretty much gave him the keys to the kingdom and said, you're in charge. He said, whatever Daniel has, he's the real thing. whatever it is that Daniel has inside of him that makes him lead, that makes him do what's right, I trust him. So he trusted Daniel with high authority. Verse 48 says, he put him in high position, lavished many gifts on him. Then he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Boy, think of that transition, how Daniel was put in charge of the entire province. It's a lot like Joseph. The story is so much like Joseph, where Pharaoh said, Joseph, I trust you. You understand. God of heaven has given you this picture, and you know what to do, and so it's yours. Do it. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, remember, this is the king who's the golden head. He is the king of the greatest empire on earth in his day. And he says, Daniel, you're in charge. You're a ruler over the entire province. I mean, he really, really believed in Daniel. Too bad he really did not believe in the authority of God. Whatever he had, he was. Nebuchadnezzar knew Daniel was for real. And he put him in charge. He put him in charge of the wise men. Imagine all those guys out there who had heard the edict that they were going to be put to death. And so here's this Daniel now put in charge of them. I bet they were pretty grateful too that God had given the dream to Daniel. And then finally it says, moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon. And so Daniel goes to the king and says, King, I just want you to know, it's not about me. It's not about my greatness. It's not because, you know, I've come up with this interpretation of the dream, and he doesn't forget his friends. No, what does Daniel do? He goes to the king and says, King, there's really three others who also should be rewarded for you having this dream. So he tells him about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men who believed, three men who trusted God, three men who went and prayed and prayed and prayed until God gave them the answer. Daniel wasn't alone. Sometimes we have to stand alone. Daniel wasn't alone. He had three men who were praying with him and there to support him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were rewarded too. Daniel didn't forget his friends at all. In fact, it says, at Daniel's request, Daniel said to the king, Daniel had the presence of mind. Daniel had the character to say, King, it's not all about me. It's not about me. There's three other men who have brought about this dream and your interpretation. So here's another quality to mention of Daniel. I don't know that I've mentioned it before. Maybe I have in the last 4 weeks. Another quality of Daniel. Daniel was loyal. Daniel was loyal. He was loyal to God. He was loyal to pray. He was loyal, and we'll read later on how he prayed, whether people were watching or not. He prayed whether or not there was a law not to. He was loyal to his faith. He was loyal to his God. He was not ashamed of his faith. Think of Daniel's character. He was never, ever, ever ashamed to say, I believe and I follow God no matter what. What a thing to say from a character in your heart. I am going to do what's right, no matter who's watching, no matter what problems will come, I will do what is right. Daniel had this character that went so deep. He was loyal to his friends. He was, but even more so, he was loyal to God. And God saw that, and God recognized that, and God's hand was on him all his life. The last thing we hear about Daniel in this story, and we really will hear about Daniel for a long time, is Daniel remained himself at the royal court. In other words, the king kept Daniel there a long time. I have a feeling that probably Daniel was right there by the king every day of the king's life. The king had a long reign. I said probably at least about 45 years. The dream happened in the first couple of years of his reign. And Daniel was there the whole time, faithfully serving the king. I said, too, that he lived into his 70s or 80s. He lived into the next kingdom. He lived into the silver kingdom. And Cyrus or Darius, who became king, he was there all along, serving God, faithful, loyal, saying, I will do what's right no matter who is watching. Nebuchadnezzar, we compare him to the character of Daniel. He had an opportunity to see God. God gave him a great gift. Daniel told him that. Nebuchadnezzar, God's giving you this gift. He's giving you an opportunity. And it seems like Nebuchadnezzar is hungry. Maybe he's hungry for the wrong thing. He wants the dream. Apparently there's a lot of things. He wanted power. He wanted to hold on to that. So he had this opportunity that God gave him, and he was curious, and he was asking and wanting to know, but he had something that got in the way, and it was his pride. We really don't know that yet, but we're going to see that in the next chapter. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? What happened when God gave him the opportunity? Well, he had pride that got in the way. He acknowledged God. He said, yeah, I know that God is real. Daniel, you must really be connected to God. But Nebuchadnezzar was not connected to God. And so he did not accept his authority. So Nebuchadnezzar continued his reign 45 years or so, and he never reached out and said, God, you're in charge of my life. So he continued to struggle. In fact, in the next verse, chapter 3, verse 1, I don't know how much time between chapter 2 and chapter 3. It could have been a month. It could have been 10 years. It could have been 20 years. It could have been up to 40 years between chapter 2 and chapter 3. But here at some point along the way, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up in the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. You know what Nebuchadnezzar was doing? He was saying, I'm going to be God. I'm going to be worshipped. And all my people are going to bow down to me. You see, he had an opportunity. God gave Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to change his heart and to change the authority, to accept the authority of God, but he does not do it. So he sets up this massive idol to remind everybody who was king, to remind everybody who was in charge, remind everybody who had all the power, remind everybody who would make the decisions, and he had all the people come. He summoned the satraps and prefects and governors and treasurers and advisors and so forth, and all of them to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So you have this king who had an opportunity, but yet he does not respond to it. Then in chapter 3, he summons all these leaders to come, and among those leaders are three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are somehow governors. I don't know exactly which title they had among them, but they were summoned to come. Come and look at the idol of the king and bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar. And so then we have the story of three men who have an opportunity again. Are they going to do what's right, even when the king tells them that they cannot and threatens to put them to death? Then we have what some would say, and I would say, and you probably would say, is one of the most incredible stories of the whole Bible in chapter 3 of Daniel, the story of the fiery furnace. This story to me is absolutely, incredibly telling of who God is and what it means to have faith in God. What it means to say God is in the place of authority. Without going into the story, just to say the one line that just I can't hardly get out of my mind is, I'm paraphrasing it, if God lets us die in the fire, it's okay. But we will not walk away from the authority and faith in God. That is an incredible, incredible story. I just want to invite you to read that story. Whether you're 7 years old or 80 years old, I just want to invite you to read the story. We're going to look at that next Sunday morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the character of Daniel. Lord God, the last couple weeks we've seen some amazing things that he has said and done. It just tells us that Daniel believed to the deepest part of who he is and who God is. and he lived by that faith, and he had incredible influence. I pray, God, that we would choose to give God the authority in our lives. I thank you for the opportunity to study and to hear, and pray, God, that you would speak to us in these stories. I pray, God, that as we think about the story of the fiery furnace, that every one of us, God, would come to that place again to say, God, I believe in you, I trust you, I will live for you no matter what, no matter what is said around me, no matter what other people believe, I choose to believe and live for God. Help us to have that character, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today.